All right. I know he's not here to hear me, but he'll hear it on the recording. I want to thank Brad for his confidence in me and for giving me the opportunity to stand before you today and continue in our teaching in Galatians. I want to get right to it. So what I'd like to do first is let's just read through the text so that we can get the whole text, and then we'll start breaking it down. So I'm in Galatians chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 11 to the end of the chapter. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, and fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ a minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So we've been talking, going through Galatians so far, and we've really been dealing with the issues of things being added to the gospel, still trying to go by the old law. And we see this starts in right here where we get an example of this that took place with leaders of the church. You know, we have Peter was there in Antioch, and he was having a happy time hanging out with all the Christians, Jews and Gentiles. Think about it. He would have been here with us eating lunch and eating whatever was served, whether it was clean or unclean. But then when some of the Jewish believers came up, all of a sudden, you know, he got fearful of them and what they might think of him, and he withdrew. Now, what's interesting about this is that Peter knew better. Peter knew better. Remember chapter 10 of the book of Acts? Peter, the apostle Peter, had God himself show him that there was nothing unclean, that no person was unclean. Remember, he had the visions. He gave him those visions, had to show him three times, you know, to make sure he knew what it was. The sheet came down with all kinds of animals in it, clean and unclean, and told him, take and eat. And he said, I never ate anything unclean. And God gave him the message, call nothing unclean that I have cleansed. And he did all of that to prepare him so that when the men came knocking on the door from Cornelius' house, that he would go with them and preach the gospel to them. And they got born again, got baptized in the name of Jesus. Holy Ghost fell on them like it did on them on the day of Pentecost. Then he had to go back to Jerusalem and report on that, because they were questioning that. But they decided, hallelujah, you know, that salvation, the gift of the gospel, we are saved by grace through faith, had come to everyone. So Peter knew better, and we see that this upset Paul. This upset Paul, and he called him out in front of everyone, in front of everyone. Now we know that Matthew 18:15 says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Now it's interesting, this scripture says that you should go tell him alone, which we're taught that some. You know, if you have a problem with somebody, it's good, go, don't embarrass them in front of the whole group, take them aside, which that is wisdom. There are times where that's really good. Now, Proverbs 27:5 says that open rebuke is better than secret love. Now, in this case, Peter's error that he was operating in, it was against the truth of the gospel, and it needed to be called out in the presence of all. And that's an example of us. When we hear somebody preaching a false gospel or adding to the gospel or saying there's something else you need to have to be saved, we should call it out. We should call it out in front of everyone so that people will hear and people will know. Everybody gets this. You know, the gospel has freed us from man-pleasing. You know, we see Peter was, it says that he was afraid of them. So part of that fear, I think, was that he wanted to please them. And we do have a lesson in this for us today, that we lead our lives so that we're the same all the time, so that we don't find ourselves in a situation where we're acting one way and then maybe some people, other people show up and we kind of like withdraw or change or act another way. It's a good example for us. We also see in this that, you know, we shouldn't fear man. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We should please God by faith instead of trying to please man. I also want to point out, we see this word dissimulation in there, this verse. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, and so much that Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. That word means false pretense. Their false pretense, their false appearance, they were behaving counterfeit. And they were being hypocritical. That's what that means. So it was called out. Like I said, open rebuke is better than secret love. Don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this section. We get that. I think the good lesson that we learn in that is that we need to speak the truth in love and defend the gospel, the true gospel. There's a whole lot of meat for us as we move on. So I want to go on from there. Let's pick it up in verse 15. Because in verse 15, remember, this is right after what happened. It says, I'm going to read 15 and 16. It says, "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." So see, Paul is continuing to point out that error that Peter was in by trying to fulfill the law. And when he says, we who are Jews by nature, he's also, then he says, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. See, he's saying the Jews have to believe in Jesus. That as Jews, they have to believe in Jesus. They could not fulfill the law. No one can fulfill the law. Let's look at a few verses. Notice it says here that even we believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. We are justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We are not justified by works of the law. We are justified by the faith of Christ. Galatians 3:11 says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Amen. Philippians 3:9, "And be found in him," that's in Christ, "found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Our righteousness comes from the righteousness of God, which is in Christ. We cannot do it. We can't do it. Even on our best day, we cannot do it. And that's where Jesus made a way where there is no way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Galatians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, there's that transaction. Jesus took our sin. This is the gospel right here. Jesus was made sin for us, each and every one of our sins, all of it, past, present, and future. And he knew no sin. He was perfect, the perfect man, fulfillment of the law. And why was all that done? So that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And how are we made the righteousness of God in him? By faith. Long passage here, but bear with me. Romans 3:20-28. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation." I got to start right there. I love that word, propitiation. It means obliterated, totally annihilated, obliterated, all our sins. Our sins are totally annihilated, destroyed. How? Through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We keep our attention on Jesus. We keep our focus on Jesus. We keep our focus on his righteousness. It's his righteousness. It's his story. Let's go on to verse 17. "But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid." Now I want you to, a verse like this can be hard to understand, but I want you to remember the context. He's still talking primarily to the Jews, you know, and what just happened with Peter. And he says, "For if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid." Now, let me read 1 John 3:2-9. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." I love that. Now. Right now. Hallelujah. "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. My hope this morning is that each and every one of us here, each and every one of you has this hope in you. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is transgression of the law. If you ever wanted a good definition of what sin is, there it is right there. The Bible tells us sin is transgression of the law. For we know that he was manifested, talking about Jesus, he was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. We'll get to that in a second. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You see that? Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. I've seen a lot of commentators try and explain this verse, but think about what we're talking about. We are the righteousness of Christ. You need to remember that we're a three-part being. We have a spirit, which is the real us. We have a soul, which is our mind, our will, our emotions, you know, our free will, our personality. I think, I want, I feel. And we have this flesh, this body, this earth suit, the life support system that we need to exist in this natural realm that we are in. So much of the time we think of ourselves as natural beings that have supernatural experiences sometimes. We need to switch that around and realize that we're born again believers. We are supernatural beings that have some natural experiences in this natural plane. So this, where it says that when we're born of God, we cannot sin, that's our spirit. I like to say it to people and have you get it this way. At any given time, you're a born again child of God. At any given time, you're one-third perfect. 33.333% perfect. And usually it's more than that because we have a portion of our soul realm that's in the... See, when you're born again, that one-third of you, your spirit, is 100% perfected and sanctified. Our soul realm, our mind, will, and our emotions is renewed day by day by the Spirit and by the Word of God. It's being renewed right now. I pray in Jesus' name. And so we grow, we get the mind of Christ. We grow in truth, in knowledge. And then what we're waiting for, you heard it here in the scripture, it says, we do not yet appear as we will when he returns. When we either go to be with him or we all get together and go up and meet him in the sky, that's when this final third, this corruption will put on incorruptible. This mortal will put on immortality. So, again, just to review, your spirit is 100% sanctified. Your soul is in the process of being sanctified, being renewed day by day. That's why we need to be in the Word. We need to be in the prayer. We need to make sure we're filling our mind with truth and not all the garbage from the world out here. And the day is coming where we will be completed and we receive our eternal, supernatural, sanctified body. So knowing all of this, what we want to get from this is that at any given time, this is this war, the battlefield of the mind where we fight the good fight of faith. Remember it says the spirit wars against the flesh. Where does that take place? Right up here between the ears. So every moment we get to choose whether we come from the supernatural, the spirit, and whether we're being supernatural or whether we're coming from the natural and being stupid natural. Okay? That's the choices. That's a good way to put it. Supernatural or stupid natural. That's what helps these things make sense. And we're going to see it some more right here. Remember that. That's good stuff. Supernatural, stupid natural. So let me read verse 18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. That thing it's talking about building again, it's rules, regulations. It's rules and traditions of men. It's got to do this. Oh, I better get up and leave. I shouldn't be here eating with you bunch of Gentiles. Because some other Jewish believers walked in from Jerusalem. Sorry, see you later. I'm out of here. Wrong. Another thing is, it's religion. Religion. Best definition. It's interesting. Sometimes people tell me, well, you're pretty religious, aren't you? I said, no, not at all. Religion sucks. They'll go like, what? I go, yeah. Religion is man's way and rules of trying to appease God. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. I'm not in religion. I'm in a relationship. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let me read verse 19. We turned the corner right here, verse 19. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. Can a dead man sin? Sin. Sin. Can't sing either. No. The answer is no to all the above. Can a dead man transgress the law? No. So we are dead to the law, that we might live unto God. And I want to read Romans 6:11, which is a nice kind of South Kakalaki verse that we have here. It says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. See, this is the truth of the gospel that's here in the spirit that I talked about. But what is this telling us? Telling us that we have to do it in the soul realm. We have to say it. We have to believe it. We have to live it. Reckon yourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 7:4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. See how we're dead to the law? By Christ crucified. That ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. There's your holiness. There's your preaching the gospel. There's your living right. There's your sanctification, living a holy sanctified life. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hallelujah. I am a new creature with a new feature, a new freedom, and a new future. Amen. So are all of you. You are new creatures with new features, new freedoms, and new futures. Romans 8:1-4. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Colossians 3:1-3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Ye means all you all. We are dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, let's get finished here. I love these last two verses. All of this has been building up to this. Galatians 2:20. Great verse. If you haven't memorized it, to memorize. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This do not frustrate the grace of God. See, that's what, remember how we started? That's what Peter was doing when he got up and left the Gentile believers when some Jewish believers showed up. He was frustrating the grace of God. We frustrate the grace of God when we try to please God or please man or please anybody, please ourselves by keeping rules and regulations. We are saved by grace through faith, and this not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. So I want to open it up now. Let me shut off the recording for this part because it can't pick it up.